Take a look at this.
Before time, before space, before the universe, before life, before breath, before the earth, you are outside all that we know, no mind can contain.
Let's take out our notes. We're going to start a brand new series called One Prayer. One Prayer. You know, if we had a prayer that we could ask of God that would kind of unite us together as one, what would that prayer be? Now, we all have individual prayers, don't we? For finances, relationships, something in your workplace maybe. But what is one prayer that we could all ask God together for? Make us what? And in this series, you hear different topics such as make us evangelistic. Make us holy. Today, I want to talk about how God, I would want God to make us passionate. Make us passionately in love with Him. There's so many things that happen in your life that would change and will be transformed once you become passionate about whatever that is. You know, when I first fell in love with surfing and I got passionate about surfing, you know, I would love to just smell the surf wax, smell the surf wax. So you kind of like use it on your hair, use it on your body, you know. You're just passionately in love with this, whatever it is. You know, like when you fell in love. Guys, you remember when you first fell in love? You should still remember the passion you had for your wife. You know, I look at little Jared, he's 5, he's turning 6 next month, and I look at him, and usually he's a real rascal kind of guy. But he was, one week, he had a really good week, kind of behaving about everything. And I would watch him, and when he'd pass by the mirror in the morning, he'd kind of look at himself and kind of do this with his hair. You know, usually when he goes to school, it doesn't matter. His hair is standing up all over the place. He'll just go to school. But this one week, he kept doing this with his hair. And so at dinner, I asked him, so Jared, what's going on in your life? Anything different? He says, well, I love Haley. I said, Haley's a girl in his class. I said, Haley, I thought 3 weeks ago you're going to marry Emily. And then you're going to marry Genesis. And now you love Haley? And Joy looked at him and said, yeah, don't be like your father. Marry one time. Just marry one time. You know, when passion takes over a person, it just changes their outlook on life. It transforms the way that you act. It transforms the way that you behave around other people. And Jesus knew that about us. And so in his final prayer, before he was crucified, and you'd figure a person would say the most important thing that's on their heart right before they die, his final prayer was asking the Father to make us passionate. Would you read that scripture with me at the very top, John 17? Ready? Go. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Would you underline that phrase, they may know you? See, what Jesus was asking of the Father is that we as his children would really get to know the Father. Not just talking about an acquaintance or a superficial kind of a knowledge or a relationship. See, Jesus wanted us to fall in love with God in an intimate way, in a deeper sense, to be passionate about God. Because he knew that once we become passionate about who God is and where God will reside in our hearts, our lives would change. Everything would transform. You know, it's this love, a deep love that's going to transform your life. That's why, number one, would you write in your notes, your passion will transform your life. It happens to other people. It happened to Paul. Paul, we know, is a man who had most extensive training as a Pharisee. He was trained under the best of the best. He had all the authority in the world to go into churches and shut them down and persecute Christians. He had power. He had position. But when Paul met Jesus Christ and fell passionately in love with Christ, his entire life changed. Everything that he had gained was no longer of importance to him. Let's read together what Paul wrote in Philippians. Ready? Go. But whatever was to my profit, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul was so full of passion for Christ that nothing would stand in his way. Nothing came between him and his love for God. You read that scripture again. I want to know Christ. Why? Because I want to share in his sufferings. Can somebody explain that to me? I wouldn't want to share in somebody's sufferings. But Paul was so in love with Christ that his whole outlook on life changed. That's what happens to us, folks. When we are so connected with our God, when we understand more and more about him, and we fall in love with him more and more, our whole outlook, things that we would want as an earthly person, changes. We look at life differently. We look at people differently. We look at conflicts that we get involved with differently. And that's why I think one prayer that we should lift up to God as a church is, Lord, make us passionate for you. And that's my desire for us this morning. Because there's no room, there should be no room for anything else that stands between us and God when we become passionate before him. Boy, we have an amazing, infinite God, don't we? We have a God that is beyond our imagination. Our God is indescribable. So this morning, number two, would you fill that in? I want you to set your passion on this infinite and indescribable God. He is a God that we can't even wrap our minds around. He is a God that's way bigger than we could ever imagine. How do I know that? Just look up at the sky on a dark night, folks, and you'll see the majesty of your God. You know, the psalmist wrote that in Psalm 19. Let's read Psalm 19. Ready? Go. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they displayed knowledge. You see, night after night, day after day, on a daily basis, we have stars up in heaven. Right now, we have a beautiful blue sky, but there's stars up in heaven. You know what they're doing? They're not singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, folks. That psalm says stars up in heaven are shouting down to us. They're saying, hey, whoever wants to look up here, look up and see what God has already made, what God has already created. And when you see what we see up here in the heavens, boy, you will be just amazed at the size of your God. That your God is not someone you can downsize and bring him to a small little corner here that we pack alongside with us. No, your God is so big. Look up at the heavens, folks. Day after day, night after night, they shout out the works of his hands. We have an amazing God. We have a huge God. You know, the Bible begins so simply. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we read that very simple statement, but God created more than that. And when we see the majesty and the grandeur of his creation, you know what the stars are really telling us? Don't sell him short. Whatever problem you're going through right now, your God is so much bigger than that problem. Don't forget about God. Don't put him on the side. See, our God is so big that sometimes we need to see parts of his creation to remind us how big he is. I want to take you on a little tour through our universe and just give you a better concept of this grandeur of God. Let's just start with our own Milky Way galaxy, our own neighborhood where we live. This is our Milky Way galaxy. This galaxy is 100,000 light years wide and 1,000 light years deep. Now, some of you might be saying, oh, okay, so what's a light year? I'm trying to, high school, I think I heard something like that. You see, with God, you don't use a measuring stick. You don't use a ruler or a yardstick to measure the distances of God. God is so large, we have to think in terms of light years. Well, what is a light year? The Bible says when God spoke and said, let there be light, light shot out of his mouth at 186,000 miles per second. A light year is the distance light will travel in 1 year, traveling at 186,000 miles per second. You do the math, it comes out to 5.88 trillion miles that light will travel in 1 year. Our galaxy is 100,000 light years wide, which means you multiply 100,000 by 5.88 trillion. Anybody got a calculator? Can figure this out? That is so beyond my imagination. You know, I'm so used to $1.99 at Ross's or $2.95 at L&L Drive-In. 100,000 times 5.88 trillion miles, that's how wide our galaxy is. Or in other words, you have to travel, if you travel 5.88 million miles, it'll take you 100,000 years to travel the distance to reach the other end of the galaxy. And it is at a depth of 1,000 light years. There are over 200 to 400 billion stars in just our Milky Way galaxy. If I was to count every star that you see there on the screen, one star per second, it'll take me over 2,500 years to count the amount of stars. That's just our neighborhood. And scientists say there are hundreds of billions of other galaxies in the known universe, only of what we know of today. Are you getting an idea how big our God is? You know, where we are in our solar system, with our sun and the planets, this is where we're located. I'm going to put a little red dot right about there in the upper right-hand corner of the Milky Way galaxy. That's where our solar system sits right now, right about there. We're not even in the thick of everything. We're kind of right on the edges, on the fringes. And our solar system is this tiny little system that is made up of a sun and some planets. Now, the sun that we have, that we see in the daytime, that we surf under, that we enjoy our picnics under, sometimes we see that sun as a little round ball in the sky, and, you know, our little kids will draw a sun, and many times we'll help them to draw it, And what do we place on that sun? A smiley face, yeah? This sun is nowhere near our smiley face. Let's call up the next slide that shows you a picture of the sun. This is our sun. It sits 93 million miles away from the Earth. And you can thank God that we are not 1 mile closer to this sun. Because on the surface of this sun, it burns at 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, just on the surface. Every second, there are hundreds of billions of hydrogen bombs going off, producing the heat that we feel here on Earth. Every second. Now, you can't tell me that this God that created this sun is intense and powerful. He's not some whimsy, mamsy-pamsy kind of creator. He is a powerful, intense creator that created a sun that's so large, you can fit 960,000 Earths in this sun. That's the comparison. In fact, let's call it the next slide that shows a comparison between our sun and our planets. You see where Jupiter is? You see where Earth is on the very bottom there? Look at the size of our sun. And who made that? The heavens declare the glory of God and the works of His hands, the creation. God created this sun that is huge and powerful and intense. But that's not even the biggest star in the universe. I want you to see a comparison of some other stars that have been discovered in the known universe. Let's call up the next slide, and you'll see one called Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse, I'll just call it Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse sits about 427 light years away from the Earth. It is so large that its size is twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. You guys fathom that? You have the Earth, you have the sun, the Earth orbits around the sun. Betelgeuse is twice the size. Its mass is twice the size of Earth's orbit around our sun. It is so large, you can fit over 262 trillion Earths inside of Betelgeuse. I know some of you are going, whoo, over my head, stay with me on this thing. 262 trillion Earths. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, let's just say that, if the Earth were the size of a golf ball, you could fill up the Superdome with golf balls 3,000 times. That's just mind-boggling. It's just crazy. You think of how God created the size of these massive celestial bodies. It's just crazy. When you look at the comparison of the suns, this is Betelgeuse, Antares, there's several other suns. Can you make out where our sun is? Right about there. That is the size of our sun. That tiny little dot where we saw it was massive compared to the planets in our solar system. It is nothing compared to Betelgeuse. Jupiter would be a single pixel. You know what a pixel is? Just a little dot on a photograph. Jupiter would be a single little pixel. Earth, I can't even put a dot on there to represent Earth. But Betelgeuse isn't even the biggest star that we've ever discovered. There's one more that I tried looking for an image that I could capture that would show you the definition of it, but I couldn't find one, but it's called Canis Majoris. In other words, the big dog. That big dog sun, you can fit 7 quadrillion Earths in Canis Majoris. Now that is way beyond me. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, you could cover the entire state of Texas with golf balls 22 inches deep. That is the size of Canis Majoris. How great is our God? Oh my goodness. He is greater than you could have ever imagined. You know, but God didn't just create only stars. He created these beautiful, beautiful celestial formations. And although the psalmist wrote about God and looking up into the heavens and the heavens calling out the glory of God, the psalmist never had the advantage of the technology we have today. You know, today we have this thing called the Hubble telescope that sits over 900 miles above the Earth. and is looking out into the heavens and taking actual photographic images of what it sees way in the horizon and way in the universe. And it sent back these beautiful images of what we can see right before our eyes. Let me take you to a little tour of our universe. Take a look at this one. It's 8,000 light years away from Earth. This is called the Hourglass Nebula. What do you see in the middle of this nebula? Yeah, it looks like an eye, doesn't it? You know, that says a lot. When I say to Jared, behave because your mom is watching you. I mean, that's like her eye right up there. You know, I got home from work one day and Jared does this to me. He goes like that. I go, what are you doing? He says, I'm watching you. Hey, folks, God's watching us. Whatever we're doing, God's watching us. That's the Hourglass Nebula. Well, let's go out a little further into the universe. Let me take you to one called the Sombrero Galaxy. It's 30 million light years away from the Earth. Isn't that a beautiful formation? It's almost like God is just having fun creating these things. Let's take a look at one that's called the darling of the astronomers. It's called the Whirlpool Galaxy. This Whirlpool Galaxy sits right on top above the Earth. It is the only galaxy that scientists have found that sits perpendicular on the Earth. In other words, it's right above our heads, the Whirlpool Galaxy. And that sits about 37 million light years away from Earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. God, the God that we worship, is so great. But you know what we also discover as we look through all of these? In fact, by the way, if you want to take a look at more of these images, just go to Hubble on your Google or whatever search engine you want to use. Or NASA has another site, but there are galleries of these photographs that Hubble has been taking. But we see how God is great, but we also see how He's not our size, is He? His brain doesn't function like ours. He doesn't think like ours. He creates on a grander scale than we could ever imagine. He's huge. And I look at all these images and I think to myself, so why then do we question God? Who are we to tell Him what should be done in our lives? Who are we to counsel Him and to correct Him? Why don't we just passionately pursue this God? Look at what the Lord says through Isaiah. Let's read this next scripture. Ready? Go. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. See, God knows exactly what He's placed in the heavens. And they're all in the position that He wants them to be in, and He's given them all their names. And it says not one of them is missing. In other words, He knows. Of the millions of billions of galaxies that are out there, He knows every single one. He knows every single star. How great is our God? No wonder the psalmist wrote, "The heavens declare." Because God really is a God of wonders.
You are holy, holy, holy.
Those are amazing images. Amazing images. And when we look at that, and it doesn't matter whether you're here in America or Japan or China, those images that you saw just circles the earth. And we see how huge this God is. Not only do we see how huge and how majestic He is, I think we see the obvious, don't we? How small we really are. We are really, really, really small. And you know, when I think about how when the Apollo spacecraft, the mission went to the moon, and how they sent back images for the very first time where we saw the Earth in all of its fullness. And you notice how when they sent back, this image is from Apollo 17, where you can see the outline of the continents, you can see the outline of the clouds and the oceans. You know what you don't see on there? You don't see the people, do you? You don't see the traffic jams. You don't see the wars that are taking place. You don't see the poverty. You don't see the problems. It's like when we're in the midst of everything, it seems so huge, all the problems in our face. But when you take a step back, we see how we are so, so, so small, especially when we compare ourselves to the one who created all of this. And sometimes I wonder, do we really understand that? You know, the Voyager spacecraft was launched by NASA in 1977, and it was given an assignment. Its mission was to fly out on a one-way trip from Earth into the universe. And it was to take all the information about Earth into the universe so that if there was any life outside of Earth, if this life were to find the Voyager spacecraft, they would know what's going on Earth. And so they packed it up with languages, like 50 different languages of saying hello. They even had Hawaiian, hello, aloha. They had ni hao for Chinese. They had a whole bunch of different languages. They packed it up with images and photographs of little children. They even packed it with some menu items and food, but they wanted somehow life to find this spacecraft. Well, as that was going out, 13 years later, I think it was Valentine's Day in 1990, the technicians knew that the Voyager was going to get beyond its ability to send more instructions, so they sent it one last instruction. They said to Voyager, turn your cameras around as you're passing through the solar system and take some images of what you see. And so at 3.7 billion miles away from Earth, Voyager turned its cameras back to the solar system and took 60 images of what it saw. It was so far away from Earth that at 3.7 billion miles away, one pixel of this photograph, one little dot, took 5.5 hours to reach back to Earth. It took forever for NASA to put a composite of what it saw. But when they did, I tell you, when I looked at this, it blew me away. This is what they saw. These lines that you see are actually rays and bands of sunlight that's being reflected off of Voyager. But right within one of the bands of sunlight, you'll see a little dot right about there. That little dot is a blue little thing that's floating in the cosmos. In fact, let me call up the next slide that gives you a better indication. Right there, scientists labeled it the pale blue dot. Guess what that is? That's us. That's the Earth. And when you think about it, folks, every single life that has been lived from the beginning of time till now, every war that's ever been fought, every argument over a traffic problem or a parking space at Ala Moana Center, everything that you've ever experienced in life throughout all of history happened on that little blue dot. The biggest problem that we may ever feel that is crashing down on us is on this little blue dot that's floating somewhere in the cosmos that God has created. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel small. Doesn't it make you feel small? I'm not trying to make you feel small. I want to show you how small we really are. We really are small. Sometimes we think we face the biggest issues in life. It's so small when we're on this tiny, pale blue dot. We're these tiny, teeny, little, itty-bitty people on this tiny, little, bitty planet, this blue dot that's floating around there amidst all of the creation that God has made. No wonder the Bible calls us and our lives but a breath, but a vapor. But though we are but a vapor and a breath, listen to this, folks. There is significance to the seemingly insignificant life that we have. Because when you look at all of that, even though God has created all these celestial bodies in the universe, on that pale blue dot, God took the same hands that he used to create the universe, and he formed and fashioned a person right there. That's sitting right there. That's sitting right there. And just as he calls out to the stars and he knows them by name, he could call every single one of you by name right now. And he knows that he knows a number of hairs that are on your head, at least some of you. He knows, for some, he doesn't have to count that long, but you know, he knows every single thing about you. Even though he's taken time to create these beautiful galaxies, he's also taken those same hands and he's formed you and me. And he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what we're experiencing in this life on that pale blue dot. You see, folks, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And the way that he designed us and made us, he's also invited us into a relationship that will never, 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 never end. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, you and me. There are miracles going on in our lives, in our bodies all the time. You cannot tell me that a cell from your mom and a cell from your dad got together and by chance formed the person that you are today. It's not by chance. He is an intelligent designer. And he's been able to, he took one cell from both our parents and allowed that to multiply into 75 trillion cells that make up your body today. And within that makeup of 75 trillion cells, each cell contains 3 billion characters that make up your DNA that forms who you are uniquely. There's no one in this life, no one in this world, no one since the beginning of time, think about that, no one since the beginning of time that shares the same DNA as you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we don't have time enough for me to tell you more of the miracles going on, but I do know this, of the 75 trillion cells that make up our body, every 3 seconds, 50,000 cells are dying and are being replaced by 50,000 new cells. In fact, when I just said that, 50,000 cells of your body just died and was replaced by 50,000 brand new cells. And when I just said that, 50,000 cells just died and was replaced by 50,000 new cells. That's happening day and night when we're awake and when we're sleeping. No wonder we feel tired all day long, yeah? There's things going on in us all the time. There's miracles that are taking place. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. The same God who created all of the heavens took his same hands and he's fashioned you and he knows exactly what you're going through. And that's why he says, for those who trust in me, would you fill in number 3? That same God who fashioned the universe, he says, I will hold you in my hands. I mean, you can't think that God would take the time to create the uniqueness of who you are, the beauty of who you are, to let you hang by yourself. God will hold you together. That's a promise that he's made. It doesn't matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult your road may be, no matter how dark your night may become, God says, I will hold you together and carry you through any and every circumstance. See, long before we found ourselves in the mess that we're looking at in our lives today, long before we got ourselves into our own mess, God hung a cross over our heads. to remind us of His redemptive power, to remind us of His love, to give us hope. Oh, He knew what was going to happen to our lives, and so He wanted to make sure we had the hope that's going to carry us through. I want you to take a look at that Whirlpool galaxy again. That's the darling of astronomers. The Hubble telescope has the ability to zoom in on different parts of the universe. And when scientists zoomed in into the very center of the Whirlpool galaxy, remember, it sits right on top of us. It's the only galaxy that sits perpendicular to the Earth. When scientists zoomed into the center of the Whirlpool, this is what they found. Scientists call that the X structure of the Whirlpool. What do you call that? It's a cross to me, man. God knew. He knew we needed something to give us hope. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're experiencing today. But when God places a cross over our lives, you know what He's saying to us? Don't give up on me, He says. I will hold you together. No matter what the circumstances that you're facing right now, I will cover you. That's my promise. I want to take you a little deeper, though. Not into the universe. I want you to take a look deeper into yourselves. Because there's a protein molecule that we all have within us. A molecule that holds our bodies together. It's called laminin. And when I heard about this, folks, it blew my socks off. It's a guy named Louis Giglio. He does some speaking tours around the United States, and he was coming to the end of a tour where he talked about the indescribable God, how great our God is. And he was met backstage by a man who asked him, "So after all this, what are you going to do?" And Louis says, "Well, I'm going to go back to my church, and I'm going to give a message on a new series of the heavens and the glory of God in our bodies." And this guy said, "That's great. I'm a microbiologist. Give me your speech." And Louis says, "Well, I'm not quite ready to deliver it." And he said, "Well, what's your left hook, you know? At the end of every message, you got to give a left hook. What's your left hook?" And Louis says, "Well, I haven't really thought that through yet." And this microbiologist said, "Oh, Louis, you got to tell him about laminin." Because laminin? He says, "Yeah, you got to tell him about laminin. You see, there are these protein molecules in the human body. You know what, protein?" And Louis says, "No, not quite." He says, "Oh, come on, Louis. There are like 10 to 60,000 molecules, protein molecules in your body, and everyone has an assignment. And this one, its assignment is to hold the body together. It's a cell adhesion molecule, Louis. It's like the rebar in a human body. It's like when you lay cement for a foundation of a building, you put these rebars in to hold the building together. It's the glue of the human body. Louis, you got to tell them about laminin." And so Louis says, "Yeah, all right. I'm sure if I say laminin, the whole church will get saved and there'll be revival across America." And this guy looked at him and he said, "Oh, Louis, you got to see laminin. You got to see laminin." Louis says, "All right, show it to me." He says, No. You go home. Do your search on your computer. Laminin. L-A-M-I-N-I-N, laminin. Do a search." So Louis went back to the hotel room, did a search, and as the thumbprints of laminin began to appear, his jaw dropped. "Oh, I got to tell people about laminin. Man, you got to know about laminin. It is the cell adhesion molecule in your body. You got to know about laminin. You guys want to see laminin? Here is a scientific diagram of the cell adhesion molecule that's holding your organs together, that's holding your membranes together, that's holding the skin on your body. Take a look at this diagram, laminin." Let me show you an electronic microscopic image of the actual cell adhesion molecule. Now, you can't tell me. You can't tell me that's an X. Isn't it amazing? That the very molecule in your human body, you and me and all the human beings that God has created, the very molecule that's holding our bodies physically together is in the perfect shape of the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're going through. But when you listen to what Paul wrote in Colossians, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, and in him all things hold together. You see, folks, long before you decided on what you were going to do with God, God already knew what he was going to do for you. And you might be saying, man, I'm going through a really dark period right now, though. Is that promise really for sure? Well, I know it's for sure. Because the star breather became the sin bearer. And he's placed a cross over us. And he's placed multi-million crosses within us to hold us together. You know, your circumstances may not change. He never changed it for Jesus. When Jesus walked to the cross, nothing changed. Except for the fact that God knew that when his plans are set forth, it will never be frustrated. And God will pull you through every single moment. He will hold you together in these moments. And you might say, but I can't take another breath. You don't know what I'm facing right now. I can't take another step. How do I exist? How do I continue facing what I'm facing? Listen to what Isaiah says. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He will not grow weary. He will not grow tired. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. See, the Lord of the universe, you think he's going to create a galaxy and get tired? You think he's going to create billions upon billions of stars within billions of galaxies and that tires him? He doesn't get tired. And he loves to give strength to those who are weak. See, those who hope in the Lord, or those who wait upon the Lord, you know what that means? Those who say, you know, I can't make sense of this craziness. I don't know where I'm going with this chaos. I have no idea what God is going to do. I cannot see the plan of God ahead of me. But I will not give up on our God. I will not give up on the strength of my God. I will stand in the center of this moment, and I will trust in my God through everything that I'm facing right now. Those who wait upon the Lord, when they're willing to trust that he will hold them together throughout everything they're going through, when they say, I can't breathe one more day, God will give them another breath. And when you're done with that day, he'll give them another breath. And when you feel you can't take another step forward, he'll give you strength to take one more step and one more step. Well, your circumstances may not change, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And as you go from breath to breath and step to step, you'll soon find yourself soaring as if upon wings of eagles. And you will run and not be weary. And you will walk and not faint. It's an amazing God. And when you understand that about our God, and when you sing, "How great is our God," and you realize the magnitude of His power, how can we not passionately pursue Him? That's why when we take communion, the Lord said to His disciples, "As often as you do this, remember me. Remember that I am the one who's created the heavens. I am a star breather, but I've also taken the sins away. I've died for your sins, and I've placed a cross over you and a cross within you. And I'll hold on to you even though you let go. I will still hold on to you. And as I hold on to the cross of my Heavenly Father, I will hold you to Him." And folks, when we understand that about our God, we can walk through even the darkest times of our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for being a God who is not only majestic and grand, not only being a God who is a creator of the universe, but a God who took those same hands and fashioned every single cell in our body. Thank you, Father, for breathing new life into us, for giving us another chance, another sense of hope, for giving us reminders on a daily basis of how great you are and how loving you are. Father, as we pause, just to look and turn our eyes upon you, help us to truly appreciate how indescribable you really are. You are an amazing God. In Jesus' name. Ushers, go ahead.
Unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, you love.